92.5.
Driving the Gold Coast home. The Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
It's great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
I love this time of the week. This is where we let you get it off your chest, big or small, whatever you have to whinge about. 132710 is our number. Up for grabs, we got tickets to Diesel. He's coming to town. He's doing his greatest hits album, which is going to be awesome. It's at the Southport RSL, happening Saturday, the 23rd of February. Tickets are available at dieselmusic.com.au. But if you have a whinge, and Margot deems you to be the biggest whinger with the most valid point, 132710, you could score those tickets from us this afternoon. I have a whinge, Margot, but do you want to kickstart us? What have you got?
I've got a whinge.
Why don't you help on the microphone?
I've got two microphones here. I've got my choice, and Brixie put me on the wrong one, but that's okay. I thought we sorted that out before 3 o'clock. Luke, I'm going to have a whinge at Pilates.
Right.
Because it's a relatively unassuming form of exercise. You see,
I actually don't know what it is.
Well, it's basically resistance movement against your own body strength. So you use your own body strength.
But you've been resisting exercise for years.
I know, I have. And so I thought this Pilates stuff looks pretty easy. Like it does. Like I like to do a workout and build up a bit of a sweat and, you know, get puffing and panting and feel like I've done something, you know. And everyone's doing Pilates at the moment. Seems to be a bit of a thing. It's filled in my Instagram feed. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to try it because everybody seems to be raving and getting great results out of it. It bloody hurts.
Really? When did you do it today?
Like, I've done it 2 days last week, 2 days this week. And I woke up the first morning after I'd done it and I was like, my insides hurt. Like, there's bits and pieces of my body I didn't know existed until I did Pilates. So I feel like Pilates lured me into this false sense of security that it was going to be easy, and then it was really hard. But now I'm kind of addicted because I like the feeling that I get after Pilates. I feel like I've done absolutely nothing at all through the workout, but I feel it the next morning.
Well, what's your whinge? The Pilates is
Pilates has sucked me in.
Right. Pilates.
I thought it was going to be easy, and it's actually tough.
I've got a whinge against the lights at the end of, just before the Sundale Bridge. If you cruise, and the Gold Coast City Council need to fix this, and I reckon there's other traffic lights here on the coast that have got to get fixed as well. The traffic lights that you come to once you go past the Southport Yacht Club and you want to turn right to go over the Sundale Bridge coming through Main Beach, they let 4 cars through at a time.
It's always a nightmare through there. It's always backed up right back to the roundabout.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's backed up because they're not on green long enough. They literally, I was stuck in there the other day, they let 4 cars through at a time and then they go red. So Gold Coast City Council, for fair dinkum, you know, leave them on, at least leave them on for a minute before you change them around.
And I hate when cars dawdle through the light. It's no, the light's green. Go, 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 go.
Anyway, that's our whinge. If you got a whinge for us, 132710 is our number. Tickets for Diesel up for grabs.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
Hayley has just given us a call from Pack Pines. How are you going, Hayley?
Hot.
Yeah. Whinge, whinge, whine, whine.
You're whinging about the weather, Hayley. Yeah.
Well, kind of. I'm whinging about my complex manager. He decided 5 weeks ago to shut our pool for maintenance. We've had no pool for the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, don't do that in the middle of winter. Do it when we get the heat wave. Do it when we get our hottest day of summer.
And they did it last year as well for 3 weeks.
In the middle of summer?
Middle of summer.
What are they doing?
They've got to replace a couple of tiles around the pool, but the tiles have been broken for like 12 months.
Good news, though, Hayley. I spoke to that unit manager and he said he's going to fix the heater for you, but he's not going to do it until the middle of winter, right? Right in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Hey, Hayley, that's a fair whinge. I mean, who does that, Margot? Who fixes the pool in the middle of summer? You fix it in the middle of winter when no one's using it. You want to go off to see Diesel at the Southport RSL?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. Well, you got a ticket on. You got a double on us. He's coming to town February 23, and tickets are available at dieselmusic.com.au. Did I just hear your phone go off, Margot?
Yeah, word is through. We've got Anthony Mundine. He's going to be joining us on the show before 4 o'clock.
Margot trained with Anthony the Man Mundine this morning at a boxing gym in Logan. God knows how that happened, but he has made a decision whether or not he's actually going to make a comeback. Of all the people on the planet he decided to tell Margot. you know, probably in confidence, but Margot's no filter.
Off the record.
Yeah, off the I'll just tell everyone on my radio show.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
Margot kind of buried the lead today. I mean, she came out of the block, so I would have made a big song and dance about this. If I got to spar or train alongside, you know, one of our greatest athletes, Anthony Mundine, this morning, God, I would have been putting on a big song and dance about it, but you were just like sort of throwing it away that you got to train alongside the man this morning.
Well, I kind of didn't really get the enormity of it until after I left. Right. And then I was like, oh my God, I just like boxed alongside Anthony Mundine.
Were you boxing?
Yeah, so I just have a hit out. One of the dads from school is an ex-boxer.
Right.
And he commentates boxing and he's the corner man for Mundine.
Right.
And so he just one or two mornings a week comes to my place. We have a hit out in my gym at home and that's it. You know, I'm just doing it for fitness. And maybe one day I might do a charity fight. I don't know.
Really?
But I love it. I
really?
Enjoy it. Yeah, I would get in the ring and have a fight, I think. Maybe with you.
So, yeah, no, I won't take you on.
I love it. I enjoy it. It's just one of those forms of exercise that, you know, when you just enjoy something. Like, you like swimming. I like boxing. So I do it. And Chris texted me this morning and he said, look, I can't come to yours at 8:45. Can you meet me at the gym at 9? Chock Mundine has just called and said he wants to come and do a session. And I was like, oh, don't worry about me. Just go and do your session with Chock, you know, like bigger fish to fry here. And he said, no, come down to the gym. And so I hesitantly said, okay, sure, no worries, I'll come down to the gym. So I headed down to Logan Box Gym at Slacks Creek. And as I walk in, Anthony Mundine's sitting there lacing up his sneakers, ready to jump in the ring.
Hey, the man joins us right now. Anthony, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Hey, my man, how you doing?
We're good, mate. What's Margot like, mate? What's like,
nah,
honestly?
She got it right, man.
Does she really?
she got it right. Corey better watch himself.
I'm a little bit unfit, but I feel like there's some power behind that shot, Mundine. What do you reckon?
Yeah, she has some power in a punter, man, no doubt.
And so, like, do you reckon, like, if Margot was to do a fight like she was just talking about, do you reckon she'd go okay?
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, definitely would go great, but she's got to work on a bit of her fitness and get her fit, real fit, you know, where she can do 3-4 rounds without
stopping.
Getting too tired.
And mate,
yeah,
Margot was...
It might even last one or two.
No, she'll...
Mate, I'll knock you out.
Yeah, Margot will knock out the first round. Hey, Anthony, are you living on the Gold Coast now?
No, I'm just up here every couple of weeks, man, and... Just back and forth, really, yeah.
Right. And are you serious about a comeback in the boxing world, or are you just sort of keeping your toe in the water, so to speak?
No, 100%, man. Anybody that knows me knows I was happy for that to be my last fight and, you know, sail until sunset. But after all of what happened and the preparation that I had was unbelievable. I can't go out like that, man. I need to show and prove, and I want to try and get him back in the ring ASAP, but obviously they want me to get a win or whatnot, and that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do.
How about you fight me, then you've got a guaranteed win, Anthony?
Nah, I would, but, you know, I can't hit on a female.
Hey, and who are you thinking about fighting then, so for a comeback fight?
There's a guy in Melbourne named Michael Giraffa. He just came off a good fight in against Kell Brook over in England, and he's a superstar.
But none of us really know him. I'm thinking, like, do you reckon, even though he'd have the weight advantage, Paul Gallen's big news at the moment. Like, what about you and Paul Gallen? Because Paul Gallen would have the weight advantage, but the man Mundine's a better boxer than Paul Gallen. And that.
I believe so too, man. But you know, who knows? You know, see what happens. I mean, the future. Like, I just want to get back and get that win back. You know,
but you'd beat Paul Gallen.
I believe I would. You know, I mean, he's a good athlete, but he's a heavyweight. Like, heavyweights, they pack big power. You know what I mean? This guy's like, well, I fight at 72.
Right.
He's around 100 kilos, 104 kilos. You know what I mean? So that's a lot of weight. You know what I mean?
You're not.
So if you get hit, you get damaged. But I believe my skill's better, 100%.
If you fought Paul Gallen, I'd put my house on Anthony to beat him because he's a boxer. Who would you back, Margo?
Yeah, I'd back Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to tell me that that could be a bigger fight than the Horn fight. Financially, you'd have to think. Everyone would.
Maybe. I mean, I'm crazy enough to do it, don't worry.
Well, if you ever need a sparring partner, I'm always here.
Hey, good on you, thanks, Anthony. Bye. Rock on, mate. And good on both of you guys getting out there and giving it a good hit out this morning.
No worries.
And good
stuff, Margo. Keep it up, yo.
Thanks, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
And what's going on with you and I, Margo, at the moment is just an example of how life's not fair. Like, because you're really trying at the moment to lose weight, aren't you? Like,
yep.
Every day you're into something new, basically.
Just excuse me while I'm drinking my lunch, Luke.
Yeah, she just raced off to make a shake. And then Brixie's like, oh, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm about to have my lunch. It's a shake. And then he says, oh, is that your dinner as well? And she goes, no, I'll still be having dinner. But she's having a lunch. In two hours' time, we're going to the QT Hotel for dinner. But it's an interesting diet you're on, though, Margo.
Well, I feel like I've tried everything. No carbs, cut out sugar. You know, Corey's doing intermittent fasting. And oh, there's keto. And there's so many things out there. It's confusing. And I just don't really know what to eat anymore. Because, like, even when I think I'm being healthy by eating, like, beans... You tell me they're full of carbs, and then I'm like, oh, geez, I can't win, you know? So it's one of those things where I'm just uninformed, I'm uneducated, and I feel like it's all too hard. And so I self-sabotage because I don't see results, and it's exhausting, you know? So I was like, somebody mentioned something to me about trying to get rid of V's because I would probably drink 4 or 5 coffees a day and then have a can of V. Of an afternoon in right. Here in the studio.
And you go the full sugar one too.
It's the only way to go. Full Coke, full sugar, what's the point? If you're not, you know, like what's the point of drinking soft drink if you're not going to get all the sugar?
See, I'm the complete opposite of Margo because I have no sugar. I don't have any carbs.
But then you drink diet drinks and yes. Then you get told that you're going to get cancer because it's got aspartame or something like that in it.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's a never-ending
battle. You can't win.
There's always new research coming out saying, you know, whatever. I tried high fat, high protein, no carbs. I've just had enough. So for me, because it's easy and it's convenient and I'm busy, I work full-time, I've got 4 kids, I've got a husband, I've got a household to run, shakes seem to be, you know, the way to go because I don't have to meal prep, I don't have to bulk cook and then separate my food into Chinese containers and put it in the fridge and remember to take it to work, which I don't.
Aren't you hungry though?
Well, surprisingly not. I think day 2 was the hardest because it was like that whole placebo effect of, so I'm doing 2 shakes a day, 1 meal.
Right.
So I can alternate. I can go, oh, look, tonight I'm going out for dinner like we are tonight. I'm going to have a shake for breakfast and a shake for lunch.
So what
have
you eaten today?
Well,
give me everything you've eaten today.
Nothing. I have not eaten anything. I've had 2 shakes. I've had tablets that they give you, which is like a supplement. One's
right.
for metabolism. One's like a flushing out the system. And that's it. I've not had a coffee in 2 weeks. I've not had a glass of champagne, which is unusual for me, in 2 weeks. I've not had a can of soft drink, no soft drink on any level in 2 weeks.
Give us a drum roll. Let's see how much weight she's lost over all this time.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, you haven't weighed yourself?
I haven't weighed myself.
Oh. That was anticlimactic.
I'll tell you tomorrow because tomorrow is my weigh-in and my measure day. So
right. Tomorrow
I'm day 10. So this is day 9 today for me. Tomorrow's day 10. So my friend who is my consultant, my mentor, she's helping me through this process. She's motivating me, keeping me on track. She's going to come and she will measure me and weigh me tomorrow and then at day 20 and then again at day 30 because I'm doing the 30-day.
So you got to stay on shakes for 30 days.
30 days. 2 days a shake. Two shakes a day for 30 days.
Don't be. My dad is on this, right? He's on this.
Yep.
I'm not kidding you, right? So, I was at his place over Christmas time. I love my old man, but he struggles a little bit with his weight, okay? So, and he comes up in the morning and he goes, I'm having this shake. And it looks disgusting. It looks exactly like that thing you're drinking now.
So he goes, chocolate is delicious.
He goes, I've got to have this shake, mate, because I'm on a... And I know how those shakes work. They're a meal replacement.
Yes.
They're actually fairly full of calories. There's a lot of calories in them. So anyway, he has his shake and then he sits down and has bacon and eggs. Now, he was of the opinion that you, as long as you have the shake, you can pretty much eat whatever you want.
Oh.
So while he was on the shakes, he actually put weight on.
Oh, no.
Because he increased his food intake. But you're not doing that, Margo.
Well, I'm eating about 500 to 600 calories a day of actual food.
Is that it?
And then the two shakes make up for my other meals. But what your problem is that you can't put on weight.
I can't put weight on. But you know
every
what?
Girl's dream.
I'm reluctant to talk about it now because I just went berserk last week trying to put weight on. And if I told you what I ate,
well, you ate pizza one night.
I've been eating everything. I've been smacking it into me left, right, and centre.
And are you putting on any weight?
Last week I lost 3 kilos. Oh. So you're going to hate me, Margot. And I'm not sitting next to Margot tonight. By the way, because it's one of those shared meal deals, and something tells me it's a plate's going to come out for the table, and Margot's going to claim it as hers after only having a shake all day.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
Looking forward to tonight at the QT Hotel. We've set up a lot of Gold Coast singles, and there's a big blind date happening tonight. And a lot of work has gone in to us, from us, I should say, to try and successfully match the singles. Tracy is one of the singles that we've tried to find Mr. Right for, and she's in the midst, Margot, of getting ready. What would you be doing at the moment if you were Tracy?
Oh, I'd be taking in some big, deep breaths. I would be doing my hair and makeup. I would be trying to figure out which outfit am I going to wear. Am I going to do the jeans and t-shirt thing with a pair of heels because I look like I'm not trying too hard? Am I going to go the feminine, girly dress because, you know, guys love girls in dresses and like feminism? And I would probably be having a glass of wine to calm the nerves.
What are you doing at the moment, Tracy?
I'm just actually sitting down, being relaxed, actually. I've nearly finished getting ready. I've done my hair, my makeup. I'm about ready to get dressed. I'm pretty pumped, actually.
Have you got a couple of outfits in mind, or you know the one that's going to be the, like, ding-ding winner-winner?
I know the one. So as soon as you guys rang me this morning, I knew exactly what I was going to wear.
Well, beautiful. We hope that we have matched you up with a great bloke. We'll find out later tonight, and looking forward to meeting you down there, Trace. Good on you. We should also check in with Mike, is it?
Michael, yeah.
Mike, what, I bet you're not doing your hair and makeup. What are you doing, mate?
Me, mate? Yeah, no, a bit of makeup in hand. No. I've actually just cracked a beer, mate, just to settle those nerves, you know.
Cracked a beer. And have you worked out, like, there's no way, have you worked out what you're wearing? Like, you just heard Tracy and all the effort that she's going to. Have you worked out what you're wearing tonight?
Mate, we're a bloke. We just walk straight into the cupboard, grab the first shirt, first pair of pants, don't we? Isn't that what it's
done? If you're Luke, you walk into the cupboard and you grab the first bad shirt out.
I've got it sorted. So hopefully I'm wearing the right things and it looks all right.
From the online criticism I've been copping lately, Margot, you don't wear a shirt at all. but anyway, mate, we're looking forward. Behave yourself. Don't go getting messy, all right, tonight? All right?
No, mate, always a good boy. Too easy. Good on you guys.
Have you? Thanks for your time, mate. Have you ever been on a blind date, Margot?
No, never.
No, neither have I.
No, I don't like surprises. I'm not good with that. I like knowing going in, like it's calculated. I don't like taking any sort of form of risk.
I've never been set up on a blind date.
Well, I like setting up my friends all the time.
Have you ever done it successfully?
Well, I set them up and they saw each other for a little bit, but not long term.
You never created a marriage.
Not created a marriage.
I wonder if anyone's ever had that. Like, it'd be interesting. We should open the phones. Yeah, why don't we? Let's open the phones. 13 27 10 is our number here at Gold 92.5.
Yeah, blind dates. Have you been ever set up on one?
If it worked out for you, or it went even better. You know, these are the better ones. Even if it went horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Was it a disaster?
If you've got a tragic story for us or a great story, hit the phones. 13 27 10 might even fling you a decent prize.
Or what about arranged marriages?
Oh,
that
yeah.
always gets me.
I got a friend, my friend Ruchika. She's Indian, so it's the custom for a lot of Indians. And she is in an arranged marriage.
Yeah, okay. Did it work?
Well, she's still married.
You don't have a choice, do you?
And she just went, no, my parents won't. But I said, but don't you want to fall in love and find someone that you're going to be matched with? And she goes, oh, my parents have got my best interests and they'll find the right guy for me. And she's happily married, has been for about 15 years. Anyway, 13 27 10 is our number here at Gold 92.5 if you want to be a part of the show.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Tonight we've got our Valentine's at First Sight happening at the QT where we've set up a whole heap of Gold Coast strangers. Luke, they're all single and they're all looking for love and we've set them up essentially on a blind date. They're not going to see each other until they get there at dinner tonight, which can be relatively confronting. And we want to hear from you if you've ever set anyone up on a blind date and whether it worked or whether it was a complete disaster. Tanya from Broadbeach Waters has called through. Who did you set up?
Hey, Margo and Luke. I didn't set anyone up, but I've got a good story about my mum and dad.
Okay.
So they were set up by dad's mate, and they will celebrate their 58th wedding anniversary this year. Mum's 80, dad's 79 this year, and they still give each other a kiss when they head off to the shower or out to the garden, and just beautiful.
No, that's good, isn't it? Like, Margo, you were telling me off air you've been to a few dates where you've been blind, but it wasn't technically a blind date.
Most dates.
Right, congratulations to your parents. That's a great story. Let's go to Denise from Narang. What's your go, Denise?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, you're on air. What's your story?
Yeah. Well, I did a matchmaking, thank you, many years ago where I used to work. One of my reps used to ring up all the time to speak to me, and the girl in the office thought he sounded pretty cute. And after many months of them just talking and her putting it through to me, I set them up on a blind date. And then they ended up getting married, and they've been together for 23 years.
Beautiful. Oh, look at these love stories. Like, amazing.
This is putting the pressure on for us tonight, Margo, at the QT Hotel. Hopefully we get a marriage out of this. One more call. Michael from Helensvale, mate. What's your go?
Yeah, mate, look, I would have been about 2 years ago, I reckon. I had this blind date with this girl who was friends of a friend kind of thing. Then all of a sudden, when I get there, it's not just her, but her mother as well.
Oh, no.
Bringing back up.
The mother came to vet for the daughter.
Yeah.
Well, it was weird because it was like, you know, if you're in a job interview. Because it was like a long table. They were on one side, I was on the other.
Yeah. That's a job interview. I've got, have a look at the visual of that. He's on one side of the table. The daughter and the mother are on the other.
Did you go on the second date, Michael, without the mother?
No, he just went with the mother. He just went.
He left
the daughter at home. Oh, fair dinkum.
They're asking me stuff like, you know, what I do and how much I earn.
What can you do for this company? What can you bring to this company?
My thoughts for kids.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Looking forward to this because I think it's going to be a ding-dong battle. We are opening the phones up for you right now, 13, 27, 10. Who's more arrogant on the road, cyclists or motorists? And there's a catalyst for this, Margo, because you spotted something today where...
Yeah, they're at it again. The cyclists be the motorist, and they're not happy, and neither of them are happy, Luke, and both willing to sling fire both ways. I've come across some audio that's just happened recently down at Mermaid Beach and it got a little bit heated.
Hey, you guys are dead set f***ing imbeciles, aren't you?
30k's, mate. 30k's, 30k's,
mate. Get in the f***ing cycle lane, you imbecile.
It goes on. That Hedges Avenue.
It goes on for a while.
Well, Hedges Avenue is such a, you know, hot spot for people losing their temper.
It's one lane either way, and there's a bike lane there for cyclists to use. It's 30Ks, but clearly there's about five or six guys on bikes that are riding, and the guy behind them is relatively impatient. He wants to get past, so he's indicating to them to move over into the cycling lane, and they're like, no, mate, it's 30Ks. We're going 30Ks. Just slow down.
Mm.
And the exchange goes on for a fair while, but it seems to be a bit of a contentious issue. Cyclists blame drivers for being distracted and bad drivers and not giving way.
Which they can be.
Sitting too far to one side of a lane so they can't pass, etc. And drivers are saying that cyclists shouldn't be on the road. Give them a bicycle lane or give them a footpath. Drive over there, ride over there because this is a road and this is where you should drive,
car. And I've seen both sides of it because I am a cyclist and, you know, the thing about being a cyclist is you've got no protection whatsoever.
No, it's like being on a motorbike. You're relatively exposed and vulnerable.
But then as a driver, I see cyclists breaking the road rules and all that sort of stuff and you go, oh, far out, man. Like, can you just abide by the rules?
And I think people are annoyed because you've mentioned in regard to this before, that cyclists don't pay a registration to be on the road. Is that correct?
Yeah, cyclists don't pay rego.
We as drivers, we pay registration, we pay insurances, we pay all of those things to go towards being able to drive on the road. What do cyclists do? Nothing. They just ride at free will.
Yeah, but Margo, I'm against cyclists having to pay rego because if you say you get stuck behind a cyclist and you're sitting there going, this guy doesn't even pay rego. You know, he's a bludger, he's using the road, he doesn't pay rego, blah, blah, blah. If you're stuck behind that guy and he pays rego, you're not going to sit, you're still stuck behind him. You're not going to go, Well, I tell you what, I'm doing 30 kilometres in the 60 zone, but fair enough to him. He does pay his recho, so I'll just you're still going to give it to him regardless if he's paying it or not. But interesting to take your calls and to do a bit of a pulse of the Gold Coast here. 13, 27, 10, who's more arrogant?
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Marco Parker.
God, this always gets the phones into meltdown. Who's more arrogant on the road, cyclists or motorists? I hazard to guess which way it's going to go, but who we got, Margo?
Anthony from Benogan's called through. Who do you think? Is it cyclists or motorists that are worse?
It's the motorists.
Are you a cyclist, Anthony?
What do you
think? I'm a cyclist and a motorist, yes.
Oh. Okay, and why do you think it's the motorists?
They ain't got no consideration for anybody else.
Right.
Why don't we just run people over on zebra crossings because they don't pay registration fee either?
Not a bad point. Hey, good on you, mate. Who else has called through, Margo? Who else we got there is...
What do you think? Is it motorists or cyclists? Who have we got there?
Peter's my name.
Hey,
how
Peter.
You going, guys?
Peter, what do you reckon about this?
Oh, I think they're both to blame as far as arrogance is concerned. I've been a cyclist before and I know what it's like, you know, with... cars coming at you, and
he's no fun to talk to, Marco. He's bagging motorists and he's bagging cyclists.
Hey, who we got there?
How you going, buddy?
Good, mate. What did you want to say?
Oh, mate, these cyclists, they're a joke. You know, I came from Noosa down here and living down here. And you get along the Noosa Yamundi Road, it's 100k, and they want to do their 20-30k. And the same around this joint down here, especially along that Hedges Avenue and down that road, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck behind them. You can't do nothing. They're three or four abreast.
But they do look good in their Lycra. You have to admit that at least.
Oh, yeah, they can have their Lycra.
Oh, come on, mate. Fair dinkum.
Hey, real men wear Lycra.
All right. Hey, I'll tell you what, Margo. One thing I've learnt after all my time on the radio is there's going to be peace in the Middle East before there's peace on the roads between cyclists and motorists. So I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of that. Big day tomorrow here on the Gold Coast. It's Valentine's Day. I know you've got a lot prepared,
Margo.
Are
you prepared, Luke?
I'm prepared. I am actually prepared.
New girlfriend. You've gone all out, I'm sure, this year.
Well, you know, if you don't go out on your first one, you don't.
You've got to set the standard.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. You all sorted, Margo?
Yeah, I'm sorted. And I've actually got Corey sorted. One of my girlfriends, Melissa, she's a florist. She owns a heap of florist stores called The Lush Lily. And I put in a request to her to remind Corey that he had to put in his flower order.
Yeah, but have you done something for him?
Oh, yeah, I've organised dinner.
Right.
I'm getting my makeup done so that when we go and have dinner, he's looking at me looking beautiful from across the table.
Right.
I've booked in a romantic night. I've written a beautiful card with all the beautiful sentimental words because we don't really do gifts on Valentine's Day. It's just all about the words and telling each other we love each other. But nice dinner. I'm always up for that. So.
Because I feel like a lot of girls on Valentine's Day are like, all right, well, it's all over to you guys. Like it's their birthday. Like girls don't make that much of an effort.
It's a day about love and someone that you love and showing them that you love them and why you love them. So I think it's got to be, you know, from both ends.
It'd be a tough day at the florist. I reckon florists have a tough...
Oh, this, under the pump.
This is Christmas for florists. Yeah. You know, this is where they get all the juicy goss because they must have some stories to tell. Like, you know, blokes coming in and buying flowers. I mean, have a listen to this, for example.
Good afternoon, florist speaking.
Hey, Kelly, g'day. Luke, my name is. Just want to organise some flowers, please, for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, of course, not a problem. What were you after?
Just 12 dozen roses.
And 12 dozen roses?
No, a dozen roses.
No, you're all right. I'm just playing with you.
You're all right. Hey, and just, can I have a card going with it? Can you just write this down?
Yeah, hang on.
To Kathy, lots of love. You're my one and only. Love, Luke.
Love, Luke.
Yeah, okay. A couple of kisses and hugs. And then just exact same, another bunch of roses.
Yeah.
Okay, and this one just says... to Elizabeth, you're the greatest girl. You're the greatest girlfriend I could ever hope for.
I could ever hope for.
Lots of love. Your one and only Luke.
A couple of kisses and hugs on that one too. A
couple of kisses. Yeah. How many? Yeah, four kisses on that one.
Okay, no worries.
Okay, thanks, Luke. And just one more.
Yeah.
Okay, it says,
To my darling Tina.
Yes.
You grow more beautiful every day.
Every day.
I can't wait for when our baby arrives.
Yes.
Your one and only Luke.
Yeah.
And just one more.
Is this a joke?
No.
If not, okay. All right, no worries. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, this one. To my darling Stephanie.
Yes.
20 years of wedded bliss.
Yes.
Here's to another 20. Your one and only Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just read them back so that I know we've got the right with the right card with the right...
Yeah, of course. So to Kathy, lots of love. You're my one and only love, Luke. To Elizabeth, you're the greatest girlfriend I could ever hope for. Lots of love. You're one and only Luke.
Right.
To my darling Tina, you grow more beautiful every day. I can't wait for when our baby arrives. You're one and only Luke. And to my darling Stephanie, 20 years of wedded bliss. Here's to another 20. You're one and only Luke.
Hey, thanks so much for that. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Marco Parker.